You're listening to Rochelle Hunt. Call 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774.
Nothing makes your heart feel warmer and fuzzier and fluffier than if you get a message from someone saying, come on over, I've got a casserole on. It just makes your heart explode a little bit with happiness. Danny Valent, writer, food cook, eater, general woman that knows a lot and loves food, joins you as always. You can check out her work on dannyvalent.com. Casserole stew, same but different.
They are the same but different. Both can be very, very good, Rochelle, especially at this time of year. So my extensive research has involved a lot of eating, good. A lot of digging into old recipes, a lot of clanging of the old casserole pots. So the difference is that a casserole is covered, goes in the oven. Mm-hmm. Although you don't have to have a lid on it. You could have a crust on top, so something that's going to go a little bit crispy, golden and crunchy, whereas a stew is on the stove pot, on the stove top. A casserole relates to the dish that it's done in. So, yes,
the those casserole beautiful, dish.
Yeah, so earthenware traditionally, but an enameled is also lovely. Pyrex, good old Pyrex.
There's nothing like a 70s, you know, the white with the little orange, you know, triangles and squares around the edge and the glass top.
They're the best.
They're wonderful, aren't
they're
they?
They're so good. They just go forever. Whereas a stew just bubbles away on top of the stove and is also very, very good.
Is there any difference in the final product then?
Well, I guess with a casserole, often you do think about that sort of something a little bit crispy on the top. So whether it's a crumb topping or a Yorkshire pudding type topping, you know, if you're making it in the 40s, maybe you've got, you know, some sort of cracker topping or cornflake topping or something like that. You know, casseroles did get a little bit of a bad reputation for a while until they were rescued by, you know, an era of, you know, fresher produce.
I couldn't imagine the end. You've got all your beautiful ingredients in and then you go, right, now for the piece de resistance, I'm putting on cornflakes.
Well, casseroles, they sort of had this economical convenience food reputation for a long time, and it was often about, you know, opening that cream of mushroom soup can and popping that in with, you know, a whole bunch of leftovers. And it became a sort of a dish that was sort of marred by its good points in a way because it is economical. It is very adaptable, but then you just shouldn't put everything in, including the kitchen sink. Or,
well,
you know.
I know my mother-in-law still likes to. I was crumbing some schnitzel and she said, do you want me to get the cornflakes?
There you go. Look,
I was like, why? Do I want some cereal while I'm doing this? And it wasn't until she said, oh, no, we do them as crumbs.
Yeah.
I think I might have put a few in. They were all right.
It can be done. My mother-in-law does a tuna bake and she puts cornflakes on top and, you know, I find it slightly appalling. She's on the other side of the world, so I can say that. But my kids love it and have requested it and I haven't succumbed. Like, I'd almost rather fly her over than do it myself. But, it does have a place in many people's repertoires.
1-300-222-774. You can text 0437 774 774. We're talking casseroles or stews. You can go either way. Do you have a family favourite? Do you have any tips? What are the rules? Are there any rules? Danny Valent is with you. Danny, when we're talking casserole, I mean, is it any different to what we now call in foodie trendy terms, just a bit of a slow cook?
Yeah, look, it can be a slow cook. I mean, I've got a casserole in the oven right now and it's cooking slowly all day. So that's an oxtail.
And you've left the house.
Yeah, because
I'm always scared to do that.
Oh, really? Just in the oven? I wouldn't leave it on the stovetop, but in the oven, 140 degrees. One of the great things about a casserole is I know I'm going to walk back into the house and it is going to smell
amazing.
Beautiful.
Is it?
It's an oxtail ragu. I'm going to make some ricotta dumplings to go with it, and I'm going to take it to my recipe club tonight. So I'm excited about that.
I made cassoulet for visitors last weekend and it was just delicious. That's from Jane. 1-300-222-774. What are some of the basics that we should think about though? There's many schools of thought. I know my husband likes to add flour as he's kind of searing the meat to begin with. And I'm like, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. I guess one of the things that you want with a casserole is that it does have a beautiful sort of rich gravy that's sort of built into the dish. So adding flour will do that. But if you've got a cut of meat and you do want to think about those sort of so-called secondary cuts of meat that do reward a long, slow cook, like the oxtail that I've got in the oven at the moment. And because that's got so much richness in and of itself, I'm not going to add any flour and I will get quite a rich gravy. So you can do that. You know, you can add a little bit of flour to the braising juices. Could be corn flour if you're trying to avoid the old gluten, but not strictly necessary. Depends on what you're doing.
1-300-222-774. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hi. We just had a big family dinner party last night.
Yeah.
And I just did a double batch of this massive old British, very old recipe of it. It was just beef and Guinness with dumplings on top. Mm. Went down like a treat.
Yeah. Great. And is this a dish that you make all the time?
No, I only make it every now and again because it uses a chuck steak, so it has to cook for 4 hours or something.
Perfect.
Or other. But it was the meat was just beautiful after all that cooking.
Well, chuck's one of those steaks where it does have a lot of connective tissue, so it does want a long, slow cook, and that will slowly break down, release its beautiful flavour into the whole dish, and that sounds absolutely beautiful. Mm. You've got that classic sort of casserole situation with the dumplings over the top, a little bit of a crust, a little bit of a sturdiness, and oh, it sounds absolutely delicious.
And was there any left, Jenny? There's never any left after a casserole.
No.
No, yeah,
like,
that's a good sign.
It was 2.6 kilos of meat.
Wow.
People, and everything went.
That's great. It must have been delicious.
And there's nothing good on you, Jenny. It sounds wonderful when you do make a big dish and you know, like Jenny, that you've bought X amount of kilos of meat and then you come close to finishing it and there's only a couple of you. You're like, okay, we've just consumed how much food?
Well, you've got to put on your winter coat, haven't you?
You do. Ladies, this is not a casserole specific, but a friend's mum, age 70-ish, uses plain potato chips to help add a little bit of crunch.
There
now,
you go.
That's overstepping.
Everyone's got their own little secrets, haven't they?
Auntie Stella's casserole, but cooked in an electric fry pan. Bacon, mince, creamed corn. Oh, hang on. Whew, I've got to brace myself for this. Are you ready? I'm going to start it again. Bacon, mince, creamed corn, tomato soup with cheese stirred through at the end.
Yeah.
Hang on. There's more.
Oh, really?
No. Served with rice. Wow. That's family dinner tonight. That's
okay.
A lot of ingredients, Caroline. Electric fry pan. I haven't used one of those for a while too.
Well, that throws me back to those Pyrex days, doesn't it, where it was just, the 70s, 80s, those electric fry pans. We had one when I was a kid.
We had one and then I had to have a ceremony where I threw it out and said goodbye to it quite viciously because we were renovating our flat for a very long time and literally had no kitchen for about 6 months. So I lived with a rice cooker and an electric frying pan for a long time. And you want to see the end of that baby after 6 months.
I'm sure you do. You should have written some kind of bachelor cook booklet after that, Rochelle.
You must brown the meat first, regardless of cut or it's just boiled meat and it's gross and grey. That's from Harriet.
Yeah, look, I think Harriet brings up a very good point, and it is definitely part of the casserole lore that you do brown the meat. So you do want to get a beautiful golden brown crust on the meat before you start braising it. However, I have done some extensive experimentation with goulash recently where I've done many versions browning the meat and I've done a few versions without browning the meat when I just couldn't be bothered, and it was actually pretty delicious.
What's the difference between goulash and a casserole?
Well, I mean, goulash traditionally is served as more of a soup. You serve it with steamed potatoes, but you can adjust the texture, I suppose, and make it more of a casserole. So I would put it into the casserole category, if you're using a little bit less liquid.
And do you do generally spuds in the casserole or mash on the side?
Well, my Hungarian grandmother did it with steamed potatoes, so it sort of go that way. But also, actually, I have to say, love it with mash. Mm. Not very Hungarian, but
delicious.
But very delicious, and a bit of mash in your life is good. I mean, also I've seen like a bœuf bourguignon or a Lancashire hot pot, those kinds of things that you do, you can get a really good result without browning the meat if you just don't want to spend the time standing over the stove.
Beef cheeks in red wine are slow cooking at my place right now. Smelt heavenly after coming in from a foggy beach walk. That's from Jen in Torquay. Jen, now you're just rubbing it in because you are leading the life that we all want to lead right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I often make beef or lamb casserole and the leftovers are made into individual pot pies. That's from Jo.
That's fantastic. Look, the problem with a casserole is that they're so delicious there are often not leftovers, but if there are, then they are great for freezing, for making individual pies. So, yeah.
This is going to take you back, Kelly. Electric frying pans made me think of savoury mince and chop suey.
Oh, yeah. Good old classic.
This is great. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Hi. What are you going to tell us? Well, I'll get you to turn your radio down for us first of all, Alex, if that's okay.
Well, I'm in the car. That's the point.
Yep.
I don't know how to transfer it back to the handset.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to pop you on hold and let you figure that out, and we'll come back to you in just a tick. I think he's got a. I think he's needs some help with the casserole, so we better make sure we get back to him. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I've got a beef brisket recipe that I'm about to cook this afternoon and take to my parents in 2 days' time.
Oh, you're a good man.
That's going to be so beautiful. So to let the casserole sit for a day after cooking it. Oh my goodness, just next level.
Now it's good that you've called
1, 2, 3 because it's 1 cup of red wine, 2 cups of beef stock, 3 cups of passata. I just cook it slowly with some onion and garlic, 1.5 kilos of beef stock, beef brisket, then some bay leaves. That's about it.
Well, I had someone text in saying, have you got any recipes for brisket? So, Joe, you've just saved the day. That's a pretty easy recipe. Hey, your parents are going to love
garlic.
That.
Yeah, they don't know about it just yet. That's the best thing too.
I will add a tiny little secret little addition to some of those slow-cooked beef dishes. A little bit of balsamic vinegar can be beautiful. So just to slightly cut through that richness, give another layer of flavour.
Great. I'm going to try that too. So thanks for the tip.
No worries. Thanks for the recipe.
Good on you, Joe. You're going to win Son of the Year. I always brown my meat for an oven casserole, but I'm finding it's not necessary with the electric slow cooker, a working person's best friend. That's from Lena. They have changed the way we cook, haven't they?
I don't have one. But
no, neither do I.
They've changed the way some people cook. I don't know.
Well, I see the ads. I go, that's the sort of person I want to be, you know, that I should be. I should be that organised. Life goals, Danny Valente. That's one of them.
You don't want to tick off everything too early in life, do you, Rochelle? You want to have some ambitions for later on.
You've got to keep it real. Let's see whether or not Alex has figured it out. Hi, Alex.
Hello, I'm just about to pull over. Oh. Just give me a couple of minutes.
All right, mate, if we have time.
I mean, heavy traffic.
All right, well, Alex, the most important thing you need to do is drive safely, so we'll help you out. I think he's saying that he's recently widowed and he needs some help with a casserole recipe. So hopefully Alex is listening now and driving safely. Can we give him a good basic recipe?
I want to say lamb and barley. So lamb shanks, barley, just your basic root vegetables, so some carrot, some turnip, and just put it all in a pot and just let it get some oven loving. And, yeah, just keep it really simple.
The beauty of something like a casserole, Alex, is it's pretty hard to go wrong, isn't it? You just kind of plonk it all in and make sure there's enough liquid and good liquid and
exactly.
You'll just be all right.
Put in good things. If it's not tender, just keep cooking, top it up with some liquid and, you know, stock is, I suppose, a big question with casseroles, but I think when you're using a lot of these secondary cuts of meat, the lamb shanks, the brisket, the chuck steak, then there is so much flavour in that meat that if you just cook it slowly, just let the flavour sort of ease out of it, you can almost get away with using just water, perhaps a dash of wine and no stock at all.
Nonsense, says this. Browning the meat is entirely unnecessary, says cooking guru Harold McGee from On Food and Cooking.
Well, I know what Harold says, and he does say that it's useless for sealing the meat, that is a fallacy, and indeed that's true. You don't sort of lock in the moisture. But what you do get is the browning of it does cause a reaction to the surface of the meat and bring in some flavour. So it's a flavour thing. It's not about any sort of structural change that you're going to make to that meat.
Paul says, you two sound like really nice people, but do you have to talk about meat and animals all the time? Okay,
sure.
Is there a vegetarian idea of a casserole?
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, there's some beautiful, and I think we start looking towards the tagine, so Northern African, Middle Eastern sorts of dishes, and indeed beautiful things that you can do with, let's say, chickpea, some pumpkin, sweet potato, beautiful, braise those. I love to do a vegetarian tagine with, I put in the juice of an orange and then finish it off with some orange zest.
Oh, really?
And it's just absolutely beautiful. Really, it's got those long, slow-cooked, you know, beautiful, subtle flavours, but then you really spark it up with a bit of zest at the end and some chopped herbs too.
It's funny that you mentioned orange. My husband made a beautiful Luc Nguyen dish in one of his French influenced slow cooks, and it was a beef dish like a stew, but the base of it was really clear and light, and he uses orange segments and quite a lot of orange juice. And
I
was like, that sounds a bit strange, but it adds a lightness.
Yeah.
And you sort of want to eat it with rice or on its own as opposed to spuds.
It really lifts it, doesn't it? Absolutely. Lemon zest does the same thing, and fresh herbs always.
Ladies, a wonderful stew of black beans, pork, beef, slow cooked. It's a traditional Portuguese and Brazilian dish. Lentils, legumes, can we add all of these things?
Yeah, and barley's a real favourite of mine, so I do love that. It just soaks up so much flavour. It just can get plumper and plumper and plumper. Absolutely delicious.
And what can we catch on your website at the moment, other than the... Which tail have you got in the oven at the moment?
Oxtail. I've got an oxtail, but I haven't put that up. You know what I've got up there? It's a French toast breakfast casserole.
Hang on, French toast breakfast?
Yeah, so okay. I've been looking at this great book called Cook Until Bubbly, I think it is. I've got the proper reference on my website. But it's a French toast casserole, which, you know, extensive research for this segment, Rochelle, really doing the hard yards. So basically it's French toast stuffed with cream cheese and apple, an amazing, easy brunch. So check out that recipe at dannyvallant.com.